I would ask God to bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, that they may be always acceptable in God's sight.
Amen.
When one arrives on the Greek island of Patmos, one is surrounded by blue sky and the beautiful Aegean Sea. And as one puts one's foot on the rocky island and climbs up to where the cave that was believed to be John's home at the time he wrote the book of Revelation, it can seem like a bit of a disconnect, perhaps even disconcerting. Surrounded by these stunning vistas and bathed in Mediterranean light, John wrote of the Archangel Michael. And in this place of seeming tranquility and stunning beauty, John wrote of a mighty battle between good and evil. Well, according to common understanding, Saint Michael is one of four beings in Scripture that we call angels or messengers from God. And when we think of angels in this secularized society, it's difficult, at least for me, I don't know about you, to get that image of the actress in the Philadelphia cream cheese commercials out of my head. Remember, she was kind of a little bit airy, sort of poofy hair, dressed in white, big white feathery wings. She's sitting or standing on a cloud, and she's demanding of a lesser angel to wait on her with the cream cheese and a bagel. Well, this seems just a little bit different than the image of Michael in this reading from Revelation, where it's written, "And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." I almost want to have the children come out and act this out, but I won't do that. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan. The deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, I'm just going to do a quick survey. Which of the clergy here are glad they're not standing where I am right now? Yeah, I knew I'd have your sympathy. In the book For All the Saints, we read that Christians have always felt themselves to be attended by healthful spirits, swift, powerful, and enlightening. And in certain Christian art, they're shown in human form with wings. And if you really study your Bible, angels appear at least 17 times in the New Testament. Remember when one appears to Zacharias announcing that he would have a son with Elizabeth in their old age, and the world would come to know this child as John the Baptizer, Jesus' cousin. Then there's the angel who appears to the young Mary to give her the news that she would be the God-bearer, the Theotokos. An angel appears on more than one occasion to poor old Joseph, one to encourage him to marry the pregnant Mary, and also to encourage him after the child's birth to flee to Egypt and escape Herod's slaughter of the baby boys. And angels appeared to the shepherds near Bethlehem on that holy night of Jesus' birth. And another appeared to Jesus in the desert following the 40 days of temptation. And I'm counting on one appearing to me right now. So what are we to take away from this narrative of a war in heaven? Is it the good news of good triumphing over evil? Of light dispelling the darkness, of being in a secularized world that needs the love of Christ? Well, if we turn to tonight's gospel reading, we have Nathanael. Now, Jesus sees him from a distance, and Jesus says of Nathanael, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Well, of course, Nathanael is surprised at this observation of a stranger and asks, where did you get to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under a fig tree before Philip called you. And from this, Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. How did you know me? The incarnation of Christ is among us. Our very presence here tonight indicates our own declaration that, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Our ministry and our life as Christians is lived in Jesus. And Jesus knows us, each of us, each and every one of us. With our eccentricities, our flaws, our strengths and our gifts. And I wonder, how is it that our words and our actions can show others that Jesus is the Son of God? And here, dear clergy, I'm about to break the preaching rules as I refer to yet a third of our scripture readings this night, that of Genesis, because I can't avoid talking about these words. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I have a favorite hymn. It's called Gather Us In, and some of the words go like this. Here in this place, new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See, in this space, our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day. Call us anew to be salt of the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. Not in the dark of buildings confining, not in some heaven light years away, but here in this place, the new light is shining. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely new light is shining. As we come together tonight on this, the eve of the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, to celebrate the new ministry of the people of St. George's and the Reverend Dr. Stephen Hendry. Stephen has come amongst you as a servant, as a pastor, teacher, and preacher. Stephen, you are called to proclaim the good news, to administer the sacraments, and to raise up people to engage the world in God's mission and ministry. And I'll tell you that I had a big chunk in here that I took out today, but I just decided that I had to put a little bit of it back in. As you raced around from the rectory to the church, and I spoke with Don Cardy two parishes ago, I said, you know, I was going to talk about Stephen the ever-ready bunny. But had decided I wouldn't. So Stephen, I'm not going to talk about that. But you need to know that you have called a priest who is faithful and faith-filled and will do whatever it takes to live out his sense of call in this place, his sense of call to the people of God here now in this new church. And you, the people of St. George's, I've heard already from both Joyce and from Stephen how welcomed they have felt to be here. And I want to say thank you to you, because that doesn't happen to all clergy in places that they go. There's even being people bringing them food to the door, and the things that needed to be done in the rectory have been done for them. So I want to say thank you that the priest hasn't had to come and beg, that you have done that out of a sense of generosity and caring, out of your own sense of doing ministry together. Together with your priest, you are called to continue to be a hub of God's mission and ministry in God's world. You need to know this is a congregation that all clergy look to and think would be an amazing church to be a part of. You, the people of St. George's, will be asked to give yourselves this night, as your territorial archdeacon comes forward to ask questions, to give yourselves in sacrificial love to one another and to the world. You are called to listen for the messengers of the Lord to guide you in your ministry, both you, Stephen, and the people of St. George. You are reminded that, like Nathaniel, God knows you. You are called to remember that God is surely in this place. And from here, we carry out together God's mission in the world. What better way can one interpret the revelation of the angel Michael conquering the dragon, as we all bear witness to our faith in Jesus Christ and declare our willingness to be the light of the world and to be bearers of the good news in the midst of what can seem darkness in our world. Thank you for letting me speak. And I know that you're going to do amazing things together with God as your guide, with God as your witness. I say these things to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.